Nerderotic.com.
Welcome back to the Nerderotic Podcast. My name is Gary Buechler. I am live in San Francisco, California. And I come to you from Nerderotic.com and down in San Diego. We have the Greek geek, Dennis Bethalkis. What is up, man?
Only 50% supposedly Greek. 50.7%.
Yeah. Well, the other 50% is geek.
I got my heritage DNA test back that I did down at Comic-Con. Remember the gifted?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so supposedly I'm 50.7% Greek.
Are you mutant?
No, I'm not a mutant, unfortunately.
Neanderthal?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. But so there's some Italian mixed in there, some Middle Eastern, so I'm probably on a watch list now.
I'd put you on a watch list.
You know.
Just look at you.
Well, you know, we're in a new America where, you know, that kind of thing gets you on a watch list. But anyway, no politics. Not saying anything.
Yeah, whatever. Like you wouldn't have been on one suck cooking 8-9 months ago, please.
That was actually about 20 years ago, but never mind.
Shit.
So we're going to start off as we start off every flagship podcast with our deaths.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's our new death music. Yes, I know, really. Sonny Landham, who you probably remember from Predator and 48 Hours. He was Billy Bear in 48 Hours. Passed away. He was 76 years old. He, strangely enough, was also a senator, and kind of like most of the guys in Predator, he went off into government. It was kind of weird. I mean, we had him, Jesse Ventura, Schwarzenegger, and somebody else went in there too. I can't remember who it was. But yeah, they've had a lot of people go into government there. So yeah, Sonny Landham passed away at age 76. And then we also had Tobe Hooper, director of Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Poltergeist.
Well, and he watched Steven Spielberg direct Poltergeist. Let's be real.
I don't know.
That is absolutely a fact. That is not an urban legend. That was Steven Spielberg's first produced film, and he basically ripped the camera away from him. And if you watch Poltergeist and watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think Tobe Hooper was there as a shock horror guide, but look at the shots in that thing. You don't even tell me. Steve Spielberg just, you know, he had to learn how to take a back seat. And I'm sure Tobe Hooper was totally fine with it. It's one of my favorite all-time movies, dude. I saw that the day I graduated sixth grade. My mom took me and all my friends, and she took us to Poltergeist on the day we graduated sixth grade. It was great. Back to Sonny, dude. He was in one of my top five movies of all time, which is 48 Hours. Okay, 48 Hours. Not only one of the best action comedies, one of the best action movies ever made. One of the best buddy cop, what kind of buddy movies ever made. Yes, filmed in lovely San Francisco, but directed by the great Walter Hill. And yeah, it just happens to have a funny guy in it, but it is a badass movie. And kids, if you haven't seen that, you run to your Netflixes or whatever the hell your torrent sites, and you watch that movie because it is freaking great.
Don't watch the sequel.
Don't watch. No.
Don't watch the sequel. Watch the original.
We're talking about the original. And yeah, goddamn, it's good. And dude, it's got noir scenes. It's got great action scenes. It's a classic comedy scene with Eddie Murphy singing, Roxanne. God, it's just so good. And you can go to where that parking garage was, where the car was. It's on Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the parking garage anymore, but you can go there. You know, yeah, it's cool.
There used to be a really great Chinese bakery nearby there. That you get all kinds of really good steamed pork buns. Some of the best steamed pork buns. And
is it gone now?
Oh yeah, it's way gone.
Way gone. That's a bummer. All right, but Tobe Hooper, he's going down in history. He wasn't that old.
He was 74. They didn't say, actually. I was looking in the news, and it's just
kind of old.
Yeah, you know, he's 74. Probably some complications of something. I don't know exactly. So could be cancer too, because cancer's been taking a lot of people lately. So
yep.
And also, Tobe Hooper is responsible for one of the scariest scenes in TV. Remember the original Salem's Lot that was done on TV? Remember the kid floating in front of the window, tapping on the window?
Yep.
That scary ass scene, that's all Tobe Hooper.
Dude, Salem's Lot scared the shite out of me when I was a kid. Yeah. And it was like way later, I'm like, oh, that was Stephen King? What? No. Yeah, poor Sonny. And then, yeah, the big one, dude.
The big one is Jerry Lewis passed away at age 91.
Yeah. He had actually been sick a long time.
Yeah.
He was actually friends with the Padres owner, John Moores. So he was always at Padre games. He actually spent a lot of time in San Diego. I'm a native San Diegan. My dad did some business with him, way back in the day. I never got to meet him or anything, but I know my dad had met with him. My dad was an accountant, many times, and, had nothing but nice things to say about the guy. And what he did, the Jerry's Kid thing, you know, we need more philanthropists like him. Okay. I know he was probably, he had a reputation of being rough to deal with in Hollywood. But you know what? You can negate that when you help kids and you spend your life doing it. And that's pretty much what the rest of his life was. And that's his legacy beyond his acting, beyond his genius comedy, where he is revered in France for some reason. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of his comedy, but for his work with Jerry's Kids, you know, he'll be missed. Lived a good long life. Wasn't perfect, but he's definitely, you know, if you're gonna be reincarnated into something, you know, like something nice, or if there's a heaven, he deserves to go there for what he did for the kids.
Yeah, if you get a chance to, King of Comedy, it's a very dark comedy, but
great movie. It's
a really great movie. Great movie that he directed. So, you know, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Yeah, he did direct.
No, I think he was just in it. Is it? It's Robert De Niro, right? Robert De Niro. I thought that was Scorsese.
Yes.
Scorsese direct King of Comedy? I think it was
now
Scorsese.
I gotta go and look again because I want to say.
Or that's where you saw, like, Jerry Lewis had chops as an actor. I mean, the guy was just super talented. I remember watching when my dad took me to see it. This is when he was working with him, was not Easy Money.
Martin Scorsese, yes, correct. You're correct.
I can't remember the movie my dad took me to saw where it was like the last silly comedy Jerry Lewis movie, and it was like, I'll figure it out later, it's not important. But
great movie.
My dad got to meet a few cool people, and that was one of them. Man.
So kind of continuing on the death thing, but not really death. this week marked actually it was yesterday, was King Kirby's birthday. Jack the King Kirby is his 100th birthday. And honestly, you go back and take a look at some of the stuff he's done. There would be no Marvel. There would be no DC without this man. Frankly, and it's not an understatement. He did so much for both houses, created so much stuff for them, and just the artwork that he did that kind of brought along, you know, brought all these things to life. If you look at Thor Ragnarok that's coming out, that's all Kirby. That's all. It's all based on Kirby's work.
And it's gonna be awesome. It's a Kirby love letter, and you got to see the first influx of Kirby in movies with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Just a little bit, but it was just enough to make all of us nerds freak out. Now Kirby's a guy. I'm gonna recommend three videos for you guys to watch, ladies and gentlemen, who did some really in-depth work on the anniversary of Kirby. And the first one you need to go to is I Love Comics with Engelteen and Chef Jack. They both did. I think they did four or five videos, one for each era of Kirby. Which are in-depth, wonderful, and honest. Diversity in Comics did a really good one, basically showing Kirby the man as an imperfect man. That one was good. Check both of those out, but definitely the I Love Comics one. Those guys are really good at I Love Comics, by the way. They can get critical at times, but they truly do love comics, and their analysis is really good. They know their stuff. What I thought of Kirby was he had a solid I love what everybody's going to remember is, and you know, another video has brought this up, but I mean, this is the era I've known this forever. Cause I, you know, I read comics and I owned a store, was around one Fantastic Four 100. When he started getting inking help and had more time to draw, that's when his stuff went off the charts. So we're talking late '60s. It started getting a little better. And then into the mid-70s. So he had like a 7-year just genius level of, I mean, it can go in any major gallery. I get feelings when I see his art.
Yes.
All right. So it's something inside, you know, art makes me emotional. Okay. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And when you see Kirby's art in black and white, dude, before it's colored, because comic coloring mostly destroys art, is breathtaking, dude. The Thor cover where he is, him fighting the Hulk is the shit. And they're like really in tight. You know how, his anatomy and everything was just crazy, dude. And he's so influential. And he's influential on one of Dennis and mine's favorite artists, Mike Mignola. He's super influential. And Mike Mignola would say that himself, but that era was so great. Now, you know, he fell on hard times. He got screwed over, but, you know, he did screw some people over, you know, he lived a life. He was a normal person. You know, he wasn't this god. People love to revere him and bash Stan Lee when, you know, we wouldn't have a comic industry without, Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
But either one, and Jack Kirby wasn't, you know, honestly, he's the Wozniak to Stan Lee's Jobs, Steve Jobs. That's pretty much what he was, you know? And you know, we see this repeated in life. We've got the idea man and we got the carnival barker, and it's the guy who gets his face out there. But, you know, he died early, like a lot of people from that era, because they drank a lot and they smoke a lot and they lived hard lives. And he got frost-related injuries. He wasn't part of D-Day itself. He went in later, but it was still badass.
And if you get a chance to see his artwork from World War II, because he used to draw. It was amazing, some of the artwork.
They also had him drawing out towns and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, for recon and stuff. That was crazy.
And the government also brought him in. I remember the movie Argo, that's based on getting out the Canadians. They brought in Jack Kirby. He was the artist that they used to do all the drawings for this fake movie Argo. So that was all his drawings that you actually see in the movie. They used his original artwork, which is really funny, as the storyboards for the cover for these guys going in to get out the American analysts.
That's crazy. They should make Argo someday. I swear to God, the real thing. That'd be awesome. Also, he, you know, it's hard to follow that up, and it made me forget what I was going to say. What he did, his New God stuff, he was obviously a fan, you know, like like most guys back then, he was a Jewish man, but he was well-versed in the Bible, but he also read. He got real new agey in the early '70s. There's the Eric von Daniken, ancient astronaut stuff. And, Zachariah Sitchin's 12th Planet. He borrowed heavily from those two books and Greek mythology. What he did was he merged the Sumerian stuff that Zachariah Sitchin's come up with, which is kind of woo woo, but I kind of like, and he matched it with Greek gods. And that's where he came up with the Eternals and the New Gods. And that's where all that stuff came from. Was he experimenting with drugs back then? I don't know. But Dennis posted on our Nerdrotic podcast, Kirby trying to do a Ditko and doing it better. It's trippy. And it actually makes me, I used to have a couple of these Blacklight posters. Actually, I have some Kirby posters. I'm not going to go get them right in that closet. Some original 1975 Kirby posters. And I hated this guy when I was a kid. I couldn't stand him. The blocky art looked like shite, you know? And when I started reading comics, like John Byrne was just starting out. He was doing Marvel Team Up and his stuff was just flawless. And Bob Layton on Iron Man. And John Romita. I'm a John Romita guy. So that's the first guy I started really getting into. And he was just, I don't know. Romita is still my favorite artist. I know Kirby gets Romita is a cleaner Kirby. Where Kirby beats Romita is the backgrounds and the intricate costumes and sheer anatomy. But Romita's people are a little prettier. I'm just gonna come out and say it. You know, Jack Kirby, all of his women look like they're in their mid 40s from 1960. You know, and Romita's all look like they're in their mid 20s from 1960. So. But King Kirby, we love you. Wish we were still here.
Yes.
And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So we have some more news actually that someone that you know, Derek Robertson, and Grant Morrison have a comic named Happy, which is coming out live action on Sci-Fi on November 29th at 10 p.m. And we got a chance over at Comic-Con to actually see some of the... Actually, I think Gary recorded a good majority of that.
I'm looking to see. Oh, there it is. We actually, if you go to our YouTube channel and go under our San Diego Comic-Con category playlist, the first one is the entire Happy panel right up to the trailer. It's about 25 minutes long, and it's actually a pretty entertaining panel. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But Happy, yes. And they're making a TV series. This isn't a mini series.
Yeah, it's a TV series.
It's a TV series.
I don't know how they're going to do it because it was a 4-issue comic. That was it. And they're stretching this out into a TV series.
I talked to Derek about this when he first told me about this, and I had to be mum on it for a little while. He was blown away. Of all the stuff he's done, of all the stuff he has in the can, which I'm not allowed to mention, and I wouldn't mention. This coming out was, he would have expected Happy to actually fly out of his ass, because he was not expected to get a series out of this. He's had, you know, we can talk about the boys has been in and out of production. It was damn near like they had cameras almost ready and they cut production on that because, Adam McKay did, Wall Street movie or the housing boom movie. And, then there was going to be a TV series done by Seth Rogen on the heels of Preacher, but then Preacher's ratings, you know, were not great. So they shit canned that for a little while. But now somebody else has it who is better. And I think it's still going to be Seth Rogen involved, which is good. That's actually good news because the way he's done Preacher, I think. But this, you mentioned November 29th.
November 29th at 10 p.m. And also, since you mentioned Preacher, I just heard a little inkling that season 3 is pretty much go. They just haven't officially announced it yet.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, okay, they're staying in New Orleans. I know.
So let's talk a little bit about who's behind Happy, which was a pleasant surprise for me when I got to the panel because I did not know. It's the guys behind Crank.
Yes.
And also... Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, which I love. I love Crank, and I am the only one who loves it. I am.
No, I have Crank on DVD, and I also have Crank 2, because Crank 2 just makes me laugh.
But you don't have Ghost Rider, Spirits of Vengeance.
I do not.
I do, and I watch it. I love it. I freaking love it. I think the Ghost Rider stuff during the day is absolutely the shit. I don't know what the problem... I think it's more of a piling on. If you go back and watch a movie, it's fun. It's actually a fun movie.
I don't have problems with Ghost Rider 2. The first one, yes, I have problems with.
First one's terrible. The second one is, I will argue, is a good movie. What do they want? I think people wanted more of a series. This was way more of a Garth Ennis Ghost Rider than it was. But Ghost Rider has no serious stories. Actually, the Garth Ennis stuff is the best stuff that's ever been done, period. Yeah. And this dumb one they have, the Ghost Driver, please. All right, so I wanted to show, you know, I'm sure everybody's seen this a million times, but I am in Happy. This is issue 2. I'm all over. I'm getting my ass handed to me. And then I do get a good shot in, but then I get a scalpel to the mouth. Then there's my dead body right there, laying in the doorway. I get killed in another comic too. Derek loves me. Yeah, I'm really so happy for Derek. Now, if y'all don't know Derek Robertson, he is a working man's comic artist. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's an artist. And compared to any of the stuff that's out right now, he's one of the best working artists in the industry, period. His detail is unbelievable. If you don't believe me, just break up in a book called Ballistic. That is Jeff Darrow-esque art. Actually, it's a little better. It's a little more detailed. And yes, I'm saying Derek Robertson is better than Jeff Darrow. There, I just said it. Is it because of my friend? Maybe. I don't care. But I'm really happy for him. He's got two amazing boys, an amazing wife, and he lives, he's not like these comic artists who are, wasting their time on Twitter or, bashing fans. He loves the fans. He loves the medium. He's a huge Star Wars fan. And I just, he deserves this. He's been waiting a long time, and it's not like he's new either. He's been doing this for almost 30 years. So, the man deserves this paycheck, and I hope it's huge.
And with that said, some more, show news, I guess you could say. Stars is doing a live action version of Black Samurai starring Common. And it's going to be overseen by RZA from Wu-Tang Clan, who directed my favorite episode of Iron Fist, which was episode 6, is the fight scene where basically he's going through the three different levels that he has to fight through. So I'm actually jazzed about it because Black Samurai, it's a pulpy book that is being made into a TV show. So I'm looking forward to it. Not like Common, as an actor.
I think he's a good actor. I'll never forget at Coachella when he called for the death of the North Carolina or the Duke lacrosse team that didn't do anything, that got accused and raked through the coals by the media, and it turns out they were innocent. He went out and popped off and said some horrible shit. And I was like, and I was really looking forward to seeing him, and I was like, where the camera is, that's where the stage was. I was like right up on it. Super disappointed, but the man is a good actor. And everybody makes mistakes. I don't hold that against him. This looks cool. So what does overseeing mean?
Basically he's producing, he's going to, he's actually going to be guiding it along.
Okay,
He's probably going to write it. He's probably going to direct some episodes, things like that as well. Well,
that Iron Fist episode was pretty good. I don't know what other entertainment chops he has. I'm not the biggest. I mean, I know what the Wu-Tang Clan was. I worked in record stores when they were around. Not the biggest fan, but respect their work, whatever. That's cool. Yeah, it sounds good.
He also did
I'll check it out.
The Man with the Iron Fists. That movie. I mean, it was a bad movie. But it had some good action scenes in it. To say that.
I have not seen it. I have not seen it. But you like that exploitation.
Oh, I love, martial arts, the old martial arts. Yeah. Shaw Brothers kind of stuff. Yeah, so. Just like he does. So that's I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Never a big fan of that stuff.
Oh, I know. Michael Sheen and David Tennant are going to star in Neil Gaiman's Good Omens for Amazon.
We will be covering this. This is, I can tell you right now, we will be recapping every episode because A, David Tennant, B, Terry Pratchett, they say Neil Gaiman, but Terry Pratchett wrote it with him, which means Terry Pratchett probably wrote most of it. And if you do read it, it's very much a Terry Pratchett book.
Yes.
It rambles. Not bashing.
Somewhat.
That's why. Terry Pratchett. Yeah. That's Terry Pratchett. That's the one thing, like Douglas Adams. That's why Terry Pratchett never became Douglas Adams, because he rambled. Douglas Adams was succinct and to the point and funny. He just took forever to write books. May you rest in peace. And Terry Pratchett is gone now. Neil Gaiman, after I bashed him, but then American Gods came out and blew my freaking mind. So if it can be anything like that, now Brian Fuller's not involved, but you know, if this year ends and things stay the way they are, American Gods is my favorite thing of the year. So, I'm looking forward to it. When's that dropping? Did they say?
They didn't say. They just said they've added them into that and it's going to Amazon, and they just haven't given a date as of yet.
Amazon's really going after Netflix, and Netflix doesn't stand a chance in hell. they could, you know what? It's going to be like McGregor. It's going to be like the fight from this weekend. And he's going to get Netflix is going to get rope-a-doped, and they're going to get bled, because Amazon could do this all effing day. They are Floyd, the internet Floyd Mayweather, who doesn't beat their wife. Does that make sense? I really was hoping he would get his ass handed to him, wife beaten. That's great. I could, and it's actually a really good book. Really good book. So, definitely read it.
Blade Runner 2049, the movie that's coming out, is going to have it's going to release a series of mini prequels that are set in previous years to explain the movie. Kind of like what was done with Prometheus, I believe.
Yeah, Doctor Who did that too. So there's two ways of looking at this. Dennis has one way, I have another. I'm not hating on Blade Runner. I have a feeling that we've seen all of Harrison Ford. He's going to die early. I'll be really disappointed if that happens, because he's the reason I want to see Blade Runner. There's also no Vangelis music, which actually was 50% of the movie. And it was Ridley Scott's best directed film, period. And I am a huge fan of this movie. Huge fan of this movie, like many others. So I really want this to work. I want this to be good. I watched the prequel right before this podcast. I don't know what it added. I thought it was a good prequel. It was decent. But I don't know what it added to the movie. It was Blade Runner 2039. And just go watch the prequel. Tell us what you think. I don't think it doesn't change the themes from Blade Runner. Replicants. It mentions kind of what the status of the replicants are at that point in 2039, and they talk about a blackout, and that's pretty much it. So, but if anything, it left me a little more confused. But it was well done. It was really well done. I don't know. Did you watch it, Dennis?
I didn't watch it. I'm not a big fan of Jared Leto, tell you the truth. And I'm starting to, the more and more I'm seeing of this movie, the less I'm wanting to see it, to tell you the truth. It's that whole thing of having too much information out there. It's the exact opposite of what happened with Logan Lucky. Or Lucky Logan, however it was. They didn't do any advertisement for that movie and released it, and I want to see that, which I just haven't gotten to the theater to go and see. Whereas this one, it's months away from being released, and they're showing everything about it.
October, that's not super far away. It's about time where you start pubbing a movie a little bit.
But they've been doing it for the last 6 months.
Early. Yeah. It depends on where where I go. It hasn't been. I've seen a trailer, but I mean, I don't watch TV. Per se. I mean, I know I recap TV, but I don't watch cable television. I don't watch, I'm unplugged. I've been unplugged for over a year. So I watch a la carte television, and I'm not assaulted with this stuff, which is great. And a lot of people still watch cable television, maybe they are assaulted. Tell us what you think. If you think you're being assaulted by it, I am actually, it actually made me a little more excited. Our friend Emo Gonzalez and I are gigantic super Blade Runner fans, and we're going together, and I can't wait. There we go. So they're okay. So you're saying they're putting out prequels because they have the finished product and they think it's going to be too confusing, so they need to get the stupid audience up to speed.
Yep.
Basically what you're saying. And I think it's a genius way to promote your film. I wish more films did this. We have talked about this. I wish films would do an hour special. Instead of showing a superhero origin, do an hour special. You know what? One of the best marketing things ever was for Blair Witch, when Sci-Fi did that 45-minute documentary for Blair Witch. it made me want to watch that movie more than anything. And it was so freaking well done. And if you look at it now, people go, man, so many people shit on Blair Witch. Blair Witch was great. Blair Witch was perfect.
If you remember HBO in the 80s and the 90s, they used to have the making out, or they'd have an hour long, for whatever movie was going to be hot. They did it for a couple of movies. Lethal Weapon was famous for this, like 2, 3, and 4, where they would give them a camera and go through the, you know, behind the scenes kind of thing and do an hour long special for HBO.
No, HBO was doing that up until about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
For every big movie coming out, you could count on there being the behind the scenes or whatever HBO special. I forget, why am I not remembering what the hell it was called? It's one of the longest running things on HBO ever, you know, but, I can't wait. I, especially in the dead zone of, on the heels of a pretty bad summer, on the heels of the worst weekend since 9/11, which is a very big deal. What just happened this weekend? It was the Hitman's Bodyguard should have done, I don't know. I think it should have done 40 million. It did 10.
Yeah. I think that was about right for that movie, to tell you the truth.
No, I don't think so. Okay. 20. It should have.
Okay. 20 it's million.
Got Ryan freaking Reynolds on the heels of Deadpool. Handsome actor. I think it's telling. I think it's extremely telling. Movies, I don't think are dead per se, but I think they're going to have to rethink everything. For one, I think you're actually going to have to make movies longer.
Ticket prices. So you got to remember, everyone says the economy is great, but prices keep increasing. And one of the things that's going to drop off is going to be movies. Because I think we've made this argument before. You can wait a couple of months, wait till it comes out on DVD, buy the DVD for the same price as a ticket, or... Oh, two pairs of tickets, and you own the movie. You can watch it anytime you want.
Well, and your main demographic, Hollywood has done two things to their main demographic. They've steered away from them, okay, which is still boys, boys and men of any color. I'm talking about boys and men, 18 to 34, 18 to 45. The last couple of years, they've done a pretty good job trying to expand their, for one, they've dumbed down a lot of the movies for the foreign market. That's killed it. That's been number one, is dumbing everything down for the GD foreign market, which is the foreign market doesn't even want that. They still watch the same shit that we've watched before. It's Hollywood being stupid. There is a way to like expand your demographics to women and to older women and to older men. While keeping your main one. No, they've decided to, we don't even want to just push the male audience away. We want to give it the freaking bird. And that's how a lot of people feel. I'm not saying that's the case, but that's how a lot of people feel. Don't believe me? Go on YouTube, pick a video. There is enough out there from big channel to small channel talking about this. You know, the whole sex swapping thing, and you know what, Wonder Woman is proof that if you just make a normal movie, it doesn't matter who's effing starring in it. Just make a normal movie. Don't dumb it down. Wonder Woman is such a basic building blocks, paint by numbers movie. That's good because they didn't get fancy with it and didn't get dumb with it. I at least that's what I think. So that's what's hurting him. That's what's led to this. And the other thing is ticket prices, is the movie theaters. The movie theaters are too expensive, and millennials don't give a crap about going to movies.
I think it's very telling that the same week that this happened, that this became big news about, you know, how bad the market's doing right now, the movie market, I think it was three companies have released discount like movie subscriptions. So you buy a pass to go to the movie, and you can go and see, like, Movie Pass, for example, is doing for $10 a month. You can see one movie a day.
Yeah. You know what? I remember I messaged you at that. I had never effing heard of that until a week and a half ago. And I completely, yeah, we should have talked about that. I can't believe I forgot about that. I'm like, this exists. Hell yeah. I'm on board. There's no restrictions. There's no blackouts. And for $10 a month, it's Netflix, and you can go to a movie a day.
Yeah. Well, you can't see 3D movies. That's the only thing you can't see, and you can't go to the Rumble seats, like, you know, the D-Box thing that I've gone to before.
Who cares? Exactly. Who gives a crap? I don't need that stuff. And guess what? They have to lower the price, because for one, you want to talk about bad marketing. Like, if I haven't heard of it, and I'm like on YouTube every day, and I go to geek sites every day, and Dennis goes to geek sites every day, for them not to do that, I don't know.
So Paramount Network is remaking Heathers into a TV series.
Yay. Melissa is very happy about this. I am a huge fan of this movie. I saw the trailer, and I don't know how promising it looks, but yeah, see, I got my little DVD tin of Heathers. This is such a great fucking movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Yeah, if there's a movie that defines high school, screw effing Breakfast Club, it's Heathers.
Oh yeah. No, it's a great movie.
It is a definitely great film.
I just don't know how this TV series is going to be.
Oh, I think that you could make it an excellent TV series. You just loosely base it on the movie, and you keep the dark black comedy kind of cheese ball aspect of it, and it might work. It has to be in very talented hands. I mean, if it's not, it could be a total disaster. I agree with you there. But Melissa said she will be podcasting about it, so look forward to the recaps.
Wow. Okay. There you go. In one of the more ridiculous things here, Hasbro has filed a lawsuit against DC Comics over the use of the name Bumblebee as a trademark for toys. Why is this? Because, well, they have Transformers, which is Bumblebee, you have as a Transformer. And then DC has a female hero called Bumblebee, who was in Teen Titans 10 years before Bumblebee ever came out. Bumblebee the Autobot. Yet Hasbro was able to trademark the name Bumblebee for toys. So they're just kind of trying to slam the lid on this thing, because DC right now actually has a cartoon that's Superhero Girls, I think is what it's called, something like that, where it's all the DC superhero women in high school. They're all going to high school together, and Bumblebee happens to be one of the characters. And of course, they're going to release a toy line on this.
And people are going to confuse the giant yellow robot with a little girl with Bumblebee wings.
Yes,
apparently. Yeah, I don't know what the hell they were thinking. Did nobody, you know what it was, is they probably didn't know with what's going on in geek culture right now. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Is this person who came up with this idea and concept and passed it by multiple editors and marketers, none of them have probably heard of Bumblebee the Transformer. And I'm pretty sure I'm right on this one.
No,
and, lawyers too. Lawyers too. Yeah.
So Hasbro. Yeah,
Hasbro, the company who has Bumblebee, is suing DC, who has the little girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I was, yeah. Okay. Never mind. Okay.
So everybody at DC, did I say Hasbro? I meant everybody at DC, all the people who are in charge of marketing, all the people, all the lawyers and everything, they didn't know that. And the fact that they just couldn't pull it off the top of their head, and they did zero research, because a simple copyright research would have come up with it. I mean,
well, like their character, Bumblebee the girl, she actually existed 10 years before Bumblebee the Autobot.
Okay, but did they trademark it?
They didn't trademark it. No, that was, as a toy, yes.
Then they're fucked. That doesn't matter when you came up with it. It's when you trademarked it or copyrighted. Now, for copyright, you can actually argue that a little bit. For trademark, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just the name. That's all it is.
Yeah, and you said it's as a toy. Now, comic books, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Transformers came around in,
84, 83, something like that.
81, 82, 83, 84, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. But, yeah, you have lawyers for that shit. Or maybe they just thought they could get away with it. I don't know. But that, you know, there's a lot of lawsuits going on right now, Dennis.
There are a lot of lawsuits going on. That kind of brings us into our next. So going into our lawsuit segment.
Uh-huh.
We're going to start off with kind of a smaller one, I guess you could say. Bill Nye, the science guy, is going to be suing Disney for $37 million for fraud. And $9 million of that is actually for himself. The rest of it is for the other producers of Bill Nye, the science guy. And basically, there's some shenanigans going on as to the franchise rights, basically the residuals of all the reshowings of it and on Netflix and whatnot. He noticed that there was a decrease in the amount that he was getting paid. So he started looking into the books, if you will, of this and seeing that there was a discrepancy as to what they were supposedly supposed to be making and what he was getting paid and what the producers were getting paid, hence the lawsuit.
Well, this is going to tie into what kind of what Kirkman's doing, right? And this is this is old. This is as old as Hollywood when they first when they cut their first fucking check. This was part of it, I'm sure, which is misrepresenting their profits. And this is a shady industry that does voodoo economics to the nth degree. You know, that's why all the you know when they tell you the totals of the movies to kind of measure dicks against the studios, they're lying their asses off about these numbers. Okay, those are movie theater chains and their totals, ticket sales. Those are all estimates. You notice that they always say estimate, because that's not what they really make. They really probably make twice that much, and sometimes lose twice that much. They lie on both ways. Again, we'll bring up the argument of Avatar. I don't think for one fucking second that movie made that much money.
No,
I think they lied about it. I think that was marketing to lie about it. Cause, man, I was in a lot of empty movie theaters. I saw it twice. Saw a lot too. I was in two empty movie theaters during the day and on the second and third week release when that movie came out and I saw nobody and I was in Burbank where they made the goddamn thing. So part of it anyway, this is going to be a big deal because they are ripping these people off. They're what they did to Bill Nye, the engineering guy, is basically, you know, screw him out of doing what they've done to artists for years. But I think what's this money grab is going on to a bigger thing. Okay, there's a much bigger thing going on in Hollywood right now, and I wish we could go into it in more depth. It would have tied in really well with the box office going bad this weekend. It's all connected, man. There's been a lot of weird delays in Hollywood. Ash vs. Evil Dead got delayed. Game of Thrones is going to get delayed out to 2019. Westworld's getting delayed. A lot of stuff is getting delayed mysteriously. And it's under the guise of, you know, production costs and stuff. But I, and Dennis and I, we talked about it yesterday a little bit. I think it's, there's a lot of wackiness behind the scenes. There's a lot of cost cutting because Hollywood's taking it in the effing shorts right now. They are losing lots of money. There's only a couple studios making money and Disney's one of them. So you could sue them. And they did probably rip them off and they ripped off Kirkman too. And it's going to cost AMC Walking Dead sooner than later. Yep. And what they're exactly doing is they're just saying, they're doing what the music industry did to artists forever. It's like, oh, the cost of production of your album just costs so much to pay that, you know, the cover. And then we advanced you that money with interest and it broke. And we only, yeah, the profit, you know, David Prowse has this argument with George Lucas to this very day about Return of the Jedi, which supposedly did not make a profit because David Prowse was supposed to get some kind of a bonus based on the profit.
Yes.
And David Prowse to this very day bitches that George Lucas ripped him off. This stuff has been going on forever. I just don't know how much longer Hollywood can get away with it. They've always had a cozy relationship, believe it or not, with either party in the White House forever. You know, Republican or Democrat, they've always had, they might not have liked the person, but they've always worked with the person. You know, they understand that the business gets rolling and kind of like Las Vegas casinos, Hollywood is mostly left alone. I don't know if that's going to be the case anymore. I think also the unions are going to get busted. I think what Dennis brought up in our pre-production meeting yesterday with, you know, you're not going to have, you know, third assistants getting coffee for the assistant anymore. You know, I think that shit's like going by the wayside, especially when you've got, you know, a couple hundred people watching us with webcams in a room. You know what I mean? Which costs nothing. So that state of the industry is changing. So they're finding more reasons to rip people off. But this goes way back, right? With Bill Nye. Does this go back to his?
This goes back to the beginning, basically.
20 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
What brought it up?
Because like you said, he saw his residual check go down. And it was a significant amount, like about $100,000.
And
they were saying that it was because of it just wasn't getting the views that it was getting before. And he went and looked at it. It was getting the same amount of views. But there was something else that was going on that he pieced together at some point.
So, and views, you mean like Nielsen ratings?
Like views on Netflix and Amazon, things like that. Downloads, if you will. Measurable material that he could get.
And these are all things the companies can play with, by the way.
Yeah.
There is no government oversight. Which they're, God, I'm not even a fan of this shit, but there probably should be because Hollywood's fucking shady. Yeah, anything you see with views, even on YouTube, I don't believe it. Don't believe it. It's all algorithms and stuff, and they could pump stuff up if they're, especially when there's advertising dollars involved. They could pump stuff up. Talk to Yelp.
Actually,
talk to Facebook.
Yeah, the New York Times bestseller list. As a matter of fact, same thing. What happens is, how do you know? You look at a book and you're like, what the fuck is that book doing on the New York Times bestseller list? It's number one. What they do is they sell in bulk. Like there's a young adult novel that they pulled off for the first time off the top of the New York Times bestseller list because it was questioned as to was the real sales or not. And they had bought in bulk for Dragon Con is what's going on. And one of the American Pie actors is interested in making a movie in it. So he's supposed to be there shilling for it as well. And so they had bought an entire bulk of this for the con. It's not really sold units.
Well, dude, I'm sorry to say, Michael Jackson fans, that's why he's the best-selling artist in history, as they didn't base actual sales at record stores. It was purchased in bulk. Even the comic sales today are not measured in actual sales, which they could actually measure if they talked to each comic shop. I remember dumping bad albums into the trash. Yes, I did because they were just unsold and they sat around for 3 years and couldn't sell them for a buck, you know. And that's a lot of it, you know. But yeah, so they fudged the numbers and he caught them. Oh my goodness, he must have ran some discovery or something. The lawyers must have run some discovery. So I wonder how Kirkman caught AMC. It must have been the same situation. His check went down, or the producer's checks went down.
I think this all came up because of Darabont. When Darabont was
the much maligned Frank Darabont might have been right.
And so it's a separate lawsuit from Darabont. Darabont's on his own. The other producers, like Glenn Mazzara, Laura Shula Donner, him, and I think there's seven of them altogether, are in this lawsuit against AMC for what do they call it? A profit scam is what they're calling it. And so I think it became because of what Darabont was saying. They started looking into what they were making and doing that whole discovery thing as well and seeing that there's some discrepancies.
Huh. Well, they're busted.
Yeah.
Busted. That won't be the last we hear about that. And I think that's going to be a big deal coming on down. What other? Oh wait. Oh yeah. We also got the Rocketeer. Speaking of Disney, before we get into DCU,
We have a Rocketeer sequel called The Rocketeers, and it's supposed to chronologically take place 6 years after the original movie. And the original Rocketeer has disappeared behind enemy lines, leaving a young African American girl to put on the suit and take over the Rocketeer mantle.
Okay. No, the argument can be made that boys can root for girls all day long. This might have been a good idea for like the third movie, maybe the fourth, but for bringing it back as a true sequel, and that's what this is?
Supposedly.
Yeah. I'm a ginormous fan of the Rocketeer, but of the Rocketeer. You know, Okay. It's not going to do well. Sorry to say.
And along those same lines.
That might be an injustice in this world and totally politically incorrect, but bring it to your reel. And no, it doesn't have to be a white guy. Who was the guy who played him in the movie again?
That was Campbell. Because it's always Bruce Campbell. It always gets confused with this Campbell, and I can't remember his name now all of a sudden.
Yeah, we should not be reporting on stuff when we don't know people's names. I'll get it. It's a live recording, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it is. There's mistakes to be made all the time. Billy Campbell.
Billy Campbell. So I want Billy fucking Campbell playing the Rocketeer. He's still alive. He still looks good. Uh-huh. That's who I want in my Rocketeer sequel. And not for 5 minutes being saved by, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just fucking
you can pull a Harrison Ford and just kill off his character.
That they probably will. You know, and oh my God, they better punch the Nazis. Ha ha. You know, maybe she'll be communist. Maybe she'll be Antifa Rocketeer. And there we go. So, yeah, that's going to fail. You heard it here first on the Neurotic Podcast.
So, Ed Skrine, who you probably remember as, well, probably not because he was a fairly bad villain in Deadpool. Daredevil. There we go. He was actually all set to play in the Hellboy reboot as Major Daimo, but he exited after there was an outcry from the fans about whitewashing, because Major Daimo is actually a half Japanese, half Caucasian mix character in the comic, and Ed Skrine is pretty much white. He's just, you know, an English actor, British actor.
He's all white. Yes. Don't get much whiter than him. Yeah, that's a weird casting. It's an adaptation. In these times, I'm not talking about the debate of white actors getting most of the roles over the years and stuff. That's without question. I'm just talking about 2017 and where we're at. It's fucking stupid. It's a comic book adaptation. I mean, they could have easily cast a Japanese actor, but he just simply offered or that took what he was offered. I doubt he did any research into it, to be honest with you.
He didn't do any research at all. He didn't know what the character was until he actually started hearing about the outcry about it. And he was the one who actually stepped down. He went to the producers and said, hey, you know what? I can't take this part, and stepped down. So,
yeah, but the thing is, the outcry was nothing. That there's more people talking about the outcry than the actual outcry.
Yeah,
a very small amount of people can sound very loud on the internet. Fine. You should be casting an Asian guy, as in you should be casting a German woman as Valkyrie, but they didn't. There's no outcry over that. So there can be outcry one way, but there can't be outcry the other way. You know, I'm not a fan of inconsistency and bullshit and double standards. I think they all fucking suck in every way, shape, or form. But I mean, I have no problem with the girl from Westworld playing Valkyrie. Zero whatsoever. She looks pretty good. I also have no problem with Ed Sheeran, who I love as an actor. I think he's really good. Great Dario Naharis in Game of Thrones, playing this guy who's like kind of a bit character. I mean, he's not even the biggest character. I guess they're going to make him bigger in the movies. He's not the most memorable Hellboy character to me. He's good. He's decent.
You didn't read a lot of BPRD. He actually factors into the comic quite a bit later on.
I'm mostly a Hellboy reader. So I read all my Hellboys.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's in there quite a bit. And sure, he disappears near the end of the Hellboy, or well, where they're at right now.
But he's not like top five character.
No, you know I mean? No, like, he's not
he's,
top
he's,
five.
He's going to be in the movie for fucking 10 minutes.
I don't know.
They're making a brouhaha for a guy who's going to be in the movie maybe 15 minutes of screen time. Which is still a lot, but that's not, he's not a main character. He's not even the top three characters. Okay. So, you know, we'll see. I know they're focusing more on BPRD, and I love the direction they're going. And Neil Marshall's he just directed the second to last episode of Game of Thrones, which was very good. And he did Blackwater for Game of Thrones, and he did Thor: Dark World. He's a really good, just barely above pedestrian director. So I don't know how that's going to play with Hellboy. I think Guillermo del Toro, I think you have to have kind of an artsy director to go with them. So I don't know how good this is going to be. I love the cast, you know, who they have. And is Mignola going to be doing writing for this?
No, Christopher Golden, who actually has written a lot of the books with Mike Mignola. And I love his books, honestly. He's written the script.
Okay, yeah, no, he's good. So, yeah, that's good. I just don't know if Neil Marshall can pull this off, to be honest with you. He's really good at very linear stuff. You know, like Game of Thrones, like battles, he's good at. I don't know if he's good at the humor of Hellboy, which makes the series. It's a very serious series, and the stuff they deal with is, if done right, could outdo Buffy. Hellboy would be such a better television series.
Yeah, but
in my opinion,
if you just do BPRD and then you don't have to focus on just Hellboy, but all the characters, you can have them almost kind of like Game of Thrones, where you have characters in different locations doing different things.
Oh yeah, Hellboy could be your one of your centerpieces. One, mm-hmm. I personally love the character of Hellboy. BPRD, I can take and leave, but I've got all of them. Actually, I've got them in boxes right there that I pulled up to read. So because I've been meaning to get around to finishing up my BPRD.
Oh, Injustice 2, the video game, one of the add-ons for characters is Hellboy.
That's rad. That's freaking rad. I love that. I might have to play that now. I don't have time for video games. I'm too busy podcasting. Okay. So I understand why he did it. That's the good man. He did it. He's no shortage of roles for that guy. He's a sexy man, and he can, get a lot of jobs out there, and a good actor too. That was kind of a weird cast choice. Maybe they just wanted what scares me is I think it's some of the producers of the movies not having the knowledge of the book and stuff. And that's troubling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little troubling. So, who's the production team behind this?
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
You don't know?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Believe it or not. I know a lot of things, but not everything. Because then I'd be omnipotent and
that'd be okay. Scary. So let's get into our main subject here. I can even cue our DC movie news. We're talking about, this is news that dropped about 5 days ago, Dennis. The DCEU, it first started with the Joker. Tell us about the Joker origin.
Yeah, the Joker origin story is being, I guess you could say, pushed forward by DC, now Warner Brothers. With Martin Scorsese as the producer and Todd Phillips from The Hangover directing, writing and directing, which just really seems like an odd couple of people.
It's just crazy enough to work. I actually think Todd Phillips, his work on The Hangover, and he also did, why am I blanking it now? The movie that kind of started it all, that was the with Vince Vaughn and the frat house.
Old School.
He directed Old School, which is a fucking great movie. And The Hangover is a fucking great movie. And I think he's got the chops to do it. I think he could actually work. What I don't like is it's a goddamn period piece. Now, I guess you could make the chemicals not aging the Joker, but it's just falling into this. Everything's got to be, Captain Marvel's in the 90s now. And because of Stranger Things, everything has to be shot in the 80s or the 90s or have an 80s feel. And this is going to be the new trend. Thankfully we're almost getting away with turning everybody into a girl. now it's going to be, we're going to shoot everything in the '80s. And it's, you know, Hollywood tends to copy the shit out of stuff. I don't like the period piece aspect of it. You know, and, you know, Captain America was actually the first to do it. Wonder Woman did it. That works as a period piece. If you go back to World War II, go back to an era, that's kind of fun. But the '80s, you know, and if one, before I even get ahead of myself, the Joker doesn't have a goddamn origin.
No,
that's the most unique part of the character. I don't ever want to know when people talk about Joker origin. I read Killing Jokes as an Elseworlds. What it was. It was an Elseworlds. It did not count in the DC universe. It was here. If we're going to do a Joker origin, let's give it to the greatest living comic book writer right now, which they did. And it was great. And the greatest living comic book artist at the time. Now, when we talk about Joker origin, I just go, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. I don't even want to go. I don't want to see it. I have no interest whatsoever.
Well, come on. It worked out so well for Darth Vader.
Oh, I know, right? We get to see him as a kid. I don't want to fucking know. I don't care. And I'm not the biggest fan of Martin Scorsese either. I don't think he's God. He's done a couple good things, but, I mean, he's done a lot of shit, too. So, you know, whatever. Yeah, especially this is a guy who 2 years ago, you could look it up, ladies and gentlemen, shit all over comic book movies. And now he's coming to produce one? Yeah, fuck you, dude.
Because there's money to be made.
Well, he was talking about, he was pointing out superhero movies and how they're ruining cinema. And no, your pretentious asses were ruining cinema. Your fucking high ticket prices and your ostracizing certain parts of fan bases is what's fucking hurting cinema. It's not fucking superhero movies. Actually, they're saving your fucking ass right now. And that's why you're crawling back to it, Martin. Oh, my God. You know, go retire, dude. You know, you've made enough money. But you know what what you can't retire from? Your freaking ego. That's why people like J.K. Rowling are going to write books forever. They don't need the money, that they need the attention. And stay out of the fucking DCU. Now, this goes further that we're on the heels. We did a video of Joss Whedon. John and I did our very first reaction video. Please check it out. It's on our YouTube channel. It's also on nerdrotic.com. where we talked about his infidelity, his wife accusing him of being a hypocrite, feminist. We go over the blog that she wrote. It sounds pretty accurate. Nobody's really surprised. Still doesn't mean it's not tarnishing his career. The timing of this was unbelievable. This is, and she, they've been divorced for a while, so he must have done something to absolutely piss her off. The timing could not have been worse. This is on the heels of him taking over for Zack Snyder and the nerds being completely classless and clapping and cheering while pretending to be concerned that the man's daughter committed suicide. And, you know, people were going, I'm really sorry to hear about that, but man, I'm glad Joss Whedon's on the Justice League. Yeah, screw you guys and gals. Everybody said that. I wish DC would have stopped production, let the man finish it. That would have been a classy move, but nope. They were probably wanting to replace them, and I'm going to accuse Warner Brothers of doing something really evil here. So this is just my pure opinion based on nothing but speculation that they were they used this opportunity to get what they wanted in the first place. But now, Joss Whedon finishing the Justice League, and you said they reshot how much?
Let's put it this way. He's got writing credit on it now. He just, as of today, they announced that he is getting writing credit on the screenplay. So he's rewritten a good majority of it. Wonder Woman now is supposedly the head of the Justice League, not Batman. And he's taken out Lex Luthor completely out of the movie. Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, which we can all agree is an improvement. And from what I understand, it seems like about 70% of the movie has just been reshot.
I don't know how much of that is true. That would be a Herculean effort to reshoot 70% of the movie when everybody had already wrapped production in 3 months and get that edited down. It was right off the heels of this, where Joss Whedon's wife dropped this bomb. It was within days, hours, that DC announced that they're going to make a batch of movies that are not tied to the DCU. Now you got to realize there's semantics we're talking about here. they are still going, some are still going to count, like the Batman movie that Matt Reeves was saying. A lot of people were saying, oh, it's not involved with the DCU. No, that's not what he said. He said he's not going to have direct ties to Justice League. It's not going to have a bunch of cameos. It's a standalone Batman movie that is still within that universe. Okay. Unless they change their mind. I think they did keep that open to interpretation, just like Ben Affleck's statement at Comic-Con, which is, I am committed to playing Batman, which does not answer the question, are you going to be playing Batman?
Yeah.
So I think this could actually be kind of a genius move of Warner Brothers part. I think they should actually start doing a bunch of Elseworlds that are, that you can keep it vague. It might be tied in, it might not. And whatever one sticks, you got one, you got Wonder Woman, but that's tied into this other one. So if you can find a way to pivot Wonder Woman into any of these new ones, then you can go from there. I think we get the possibility of getting some good one-shot movies out of this, Dennis. I think we get the possibility of getting a Dark Knight Returns or a Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton, which would be fucking amazing. Or you can bring back Christian Bale. There's a lot of stuff. The Joker origin is not a good start. Not a good start. I don't know. Have you heard anything else on the horizon? I know Aquaman is supposedly a complete shit show.
Aquaman is $160 million is what it is. 160. And I highly doubt that's actually all of Aquaman. As we were talking on our pre-production yesterday, I have a feeling a good majority of that is actually Justice League spillover of them taking some of the crew from Aquaman to help with the reshoots, and actually even probably using some of the sets from Aquaman as well for the reshoots.
Okay, well, that's getting clever, but that doesn't answer my question. Do you think, how do you see this, Dennis? Now, I see it as Justice League is a complete failure. Like, they've seen it, Joss Whedon hasn't saved it, and now we got to pivot. We got to go to plan C.
I look at it as the original, as Zack Snyder had it, was a shit show. Complete and total shit show, and there was no way of saving it. And from what I've heard rumor wise, and I haven't been able to confirm any of this, is that Joss Whedon's been working on this since before he was announced for Batgirl, that he's been behind the scenes helping like Geoff Johns and all them with Justice League. And then when Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide, he was able to just step right in and rewrite, you know, a good majority of it.
So
he's been involved since
the beginning. I know he's been involved, yeah. But don't you interpret this as it's not good? Like they've changed their tone. They're not like,
oh yeah,
you don't hear them talking about Flash is coming out then, and we're going to do this movie and another Wonder Woman. No. Now they're talking about Elseworlds. That comes out of fucking nowhere. Yeah,
Flash is on its fourth writer now. They still don't have a director. Now it doesn't have a definitive date. Cyborg is still up in the air as to whether or not that's even getting a movie. Aquaman, we still know, is on track. The Batman, I don't even know if that's actually going to get made, to tell you the truth.
It's not. Matt Reeves will back out, and because he sounds like a little pain in the ass, to be honest with you. He's already sounding like somebody I just don't want. I don't care. Your Planet of the Apes movies were pretty good, dude, but they weren't reinventing the fucking wheel. Ben Affleck's going to be out as Batman. His brothers so much has said so. I'm saying it right now. DCEU is dead. It is dead, 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 and they're already working on Plan B, and they're just trying to polish a turd. And Joss Whedon's doing the best he can, but this is the same Joss Whedon who did Age of Ultron, which was pretty good, but not great. And I don't think Joss Whedon will be directing a Batgirl movie. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be directing a Batgirl movie. If anything, you know, Wonder Woman 2 is definitely going to come out. That's already scheduled to do it. Batman, if it even happens, it's going to get recast. And we're not going to see that for at least another 3 years, 4 years, probably something like that. And Superman 2 or another Superman, who knows?
If Justice League fails like on a major level, you're not going to see any of that stuff. It's done.
Yeah. Yeah. If it fails completely, sure.
Done.
but I really don't think it's going to fail. They already have Suicide Squad 2 in the works.
Well, right that now. Director just left.
No, no, it's another director now. This is fairly recent, I just heard. And what was the other thing? They've scrapped Gotham City Sirens in favor of a Joker and Harley Quinn movie, or a Joker versus Harley Quinn movie.
With Jared Leto?
Yes.
Okay. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I had not heard of that.
That one was a rumor. I thought they haven't posted it up as of yet, because I was waiting for more concrete items on that one.
All right. Well, you know, that's really crazy that's happening, but not surprising. They went backwards. We've said this ad infinitum. They went about this all wrong to begin with. They needed to build slow. They needed to exactly copy the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but their pride and ego wouldn't let them do that. And they're all, we'll do it backwards and better and darker. And oh shit. Whoops. You know, that's pretty much it. So you got a good Wonder Woman movie and you're going to kill all your goodwill, especially, you know, making her the focal point. And if it fails, you just screwed your Wonder Woman sequel. Yeah. You did. And Wonder Woman did fairly well in the States, did $406 million, but it didn't reach $1 billion worldwide. And no comic book movies did this year. Guardians of the Galaxy fell short, did better outside of the United States than in the United States, still did pretty damn good and was still a damn good movie. Spider-Man Homecoming, meh. You know, the more I think about that, the less I like that movie. And it outgrossed Iron Man, but that was 10-year-old money. Yeah. You know, it's not a success, and they are worried. There's a lot of changing weirdness going on in Hollywood right now, but TV's where it's at. That's what we've been saying all along. TV's where it's at. Yeah, can't wait for season 3 of Daredevil. I can't wait to podcast about The Tick. But DCU could be dead. We'll find out in a couple of months. So that's it. You can find all of our videos and podcasts at nerdrotic.com. All of our links will be in the description, whether we're on nerdrotic.com or on the YouTube channel. All of our Twitters, we're down there too, because we have all the Twitters. I'll say it one more time. Our next podcast will be running down The Tick, the first episode of The Tick, and we're going to see if we're going to recap every episode of that. We might. I kind of want to. I kind of love it. It is really in depth for a half hour show. There's a lot to talk about, so I'm looking forward to that. We just put up our Game of Thrones finale video on YouTube and on nerdrotic.com. You can check out this podcast. It'll be out in a couple days if you're watching it live. And it will be edited heavily, which I haven't had to do in a long time. And yeah, that's about it. Dennis, anything else?
Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, America.
And may the small folks sing songs of your greatness. See you tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to a Nerdrotic podcast. Please subscribe.